WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, people? Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hope you all have been having one fantastic holiday week. I know I sure did, spending Christmas with the family and friends. It was a great, great time, and I tell you what, I want to first of all extend a, my thoughts and prayers are with those who are still without power in Lansing. Can you believe that? Due to that ice storm last week, it hit many homes throughout the Lansing area. Many people actually spent Christmas in the dark. Can you believe that? I can't even imagine, doing that Christmas Day and you're in the dark with no power. I hope you all found a way to put a smile on your face regardless and spend, that wonderful time with your family and friends and try to look at it on the positive end, and bond. Really just bond with your whoever you spent Christmas with. But I really hope many out there got their power back on today. Actually, a friend of mine who lives in Lansing, she spent her entire holiday weekend, including Christmas, and she had no power throughout this entire week, and her power actually just came on about a few hours ago. So I can't believe it, but thoughts and prayers from Current Sports to all of you out there who are really struggling with that, and hopefully you get your power on soon if you're still without power. But welcome to the show. We have a great show in store for you all. Christmas was great for me. I tell you what, my mom, I got on that huge rant last week about my mom and my sister and the outrageous things they wanted for Christmas. I tell you what, they got everything they wanted. I tell you that. And yes, my mother, for those of you wondering, my mom did get her Michael Jordan shoes, okay? She got her Jordans. She got her Miley Cyrus CD. So she definitely had a big smile on her face. My sister got a PS4, a bunch of toys. I mean, she had a good time, a lot of clothes. I went broke, folks, okay? My pockets are done. I won't be able to buy anything else until next month, okay? But welcome to the show. We have a great show in store for you all. Again, we have Jeff Wanch. Jeff, we've been trying to get Jeff on the show for quite some time. Jeff is the Okemos High School boys varsity basketball coach. Jeff will be joining me later on in this hour to talk about the season and how his team is preparing. Yes, high school basketball is in full effect right now, ladies and gents. And, we will be diving into a story that many people are talking about when you talk about Michigan State sports and just Michigan sports in general. The story of Max Bulla. Now, for those of you who don't know, Max Bulla has been suspended for making him ineligible, because he's a senior, making him completely ineligible to play in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. Now, Michigan State suspended him for a violation of team rules. Now, in a news release sent early Thursday, Spartans coach Mark D'Antonio said Bulla had been suspended for the rest of the season. He did not say what rules the two-time captain violated. He just released this statement saying, quote, Max Bulla has been suspended for the remainder of the season for a violation of team rules. It is extremely disappointing for all parties involved. We will stay focused and close ranks as we prepare for Stanford on January 1st in the Rose Bowl. Max will forever remain a Spartan and a valued member in this team's achievements. We have no further comment on this issue. So we have no idea what Max has been suspended for. And you know what, folks? I want to take a trip back in 2011. Because if you remember, when I heard about this story, I said, Max, people don't remember back in 2011 when an incident occurred, an incident at Colorado in a bar alongside former Spartan tight end Brian Linsicum. The incident took place in a bar. Both Bulla and Linsicum were arrested. Bulla was 19 at the time. He was charged with a misdemeanor of minor in possession of alcohol and actually got 9 months probation for that incident. So this is not the first time Bulla has been in trouble. This one has really come at a bad time, seeing as though this Spartan defensive leader, just leader in general for this team, is now suspended right on the brink of the Rose Bowl, as the Rose Bowl, of course, is January 1st, one of the biggest game in Michigan State history since 1988, and now you have one of your biggest leaders. He's no longer there. So I want you all to, we're gonna take your calls later on in the show. We want you all to call in and give your thoughts on how this will affect the Michigan State football team, and we want to get your thoughts on Max Bulla and, you know, what this means for his career moving on now. So we'll be taking your calls later on the show. Of course, that is the big news coming out of Michigan State football as they prepare for media day now. Of course, Current Sports will be hitting the road. I will be hitting the road tomorrow, actually flying out to Cali, and we will definitely have blown out coverage from all of the pregame festivities, including the game itself, of course, with the Rose Bowl out in California, Pasadena, California. Again, you can go to WKAR.org to see all of that coverage and tune into Current State as well next week, and Current Sports, same time, same place, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, as we will have a lot of coverage from Pasadena. You don't want to miss that. Okay, well, let's start the show. Let's get to your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this December 27, 2013. Well, you know what? On the other side of town in Ann Arbor, Taylor Lewan, University of Michigan offensive tackle, expected to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft in May. He was one of several people interviewed by police after an Ohio State fan said he was assaulted outside a downtown Ann Arbor restaurant. The alleged assault occurred on South University Avenue near campus, near Central Campus, after U of M's loss to Ohio State on November 30th. The incident is still under investigation by Ann Arbor Police Department, but Brady Hoke has come out and said that Lewan will still play in tomorrow's Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl against Kansas State. All right, Michigan will also, they will star freshman quarterback Shane Morris in place of Devin Gardner in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Gardner, a redshirt junior, is sidelined with what the school initially called turf toe. Now, or sprain of the ligaments around the toe joint. Now, Hoke said on Thursday the injury is likely a slight fracture. Morris has appeared in only 4 games this season. He has completed 5 of 9 passes for 65 yards and 1 INT. South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney has been pulled over again, folks, for going at least 25 miles per hour over the speed limit. Now, Clowney was stopped around 10:30 a.m. Thursday, going 84 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone on Interstate 26, about 5 minutes from the Gamecocks campus. It's Clowney's second ticket. Remember, we talked about this story not too long ago here on the show. It's his second ticket in 3 weeks. On December 7th, state troopers say that Clowney was going 110 miles per hour in a 70 mile per hour zone. So Clowney has the need for speed, I guess. So he's been ticketed once again. Now, while Kickalicious didn't end up making the team, the Lions are still looking to add talent to their roster from strange places, folks. Insert Carlin Isles, who some dub the fastest man in American rugby. He is the newest member of the Lions practice squad. Now, Isles, who ran a, get this, this is unbelievable, 4.22, yes, 4.2, a 4.2 40-yard dash, folks, while working out with the team, is another, he's another YouTube sensation and should at least make a few waves in his time with the team. So the Lions just making additions really for no apparent reason, to tell you the truth. All right, some news coming out of Pistons camp. The Detroit Pistons have sent second-round picks Peyton Siva and Tony Mitchell to the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the NBA's D-League. Now, having appeared in 13 and 10 games, respectively, the duo will have the opportunity to earn a lot more playing time with the Mad Ants and perhaps speed up their development. So they are now in the NBA's Development League. So Peyton Siva and Tony Mitchell no longer a part of the Detroit Pistons roster. LeBron James has added another accomplishment to his already overflowing resume. AP Athlete of the Year. The Heat star, who won his second consecutive NBA title while cementing his status as the best and most famous player in the league, became the third NBA player to win the award, joining Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. Now, James received 31 of 96 votes casted, besting Peyton Manning's 20 and Jimmy Johnson's 7. John Kitna, newly unretired quarterback John Kitna, has announced he will donate his $53,000 Cowboys game check to Tacoma High School, where he has been teaching and coaching since retiring from football. Now, the 41-year-old reached out to the Cowboys after learning of Tony Romo's injury and joined the club as their backup QB. Kitna had played for 15 seasons and returned to Tacoma, Washington after stints with the Bengals, yes, the Detroit Lions, and Dallas Cowboys. Well, those are your quick hit current sports headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, our phone lines will be open in just a sec. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. And we want to get your thoughts on the absence of, defensive linebacker Max Bulla. Max Bulla, of course, a known leader for this MSU football team, a guy who really is really one of the reasons why this MSU football team is where it is defensively and now heading to the Rose Bowl. I mean, he's such a key component to this team. He has been suspended from this year's Rose Bowl, though. He will not end his MSU football career playing in one of the biggest games in Michigan State football history due to a violation of team rules, really hurting his team. We want you to call in and give us your thoughts on how this will affect the MSU and Stanford game and how this will affect Bulla's really career, football career from here on out, to be honest with you. We want you to call in and let us know your thoughts on that. Of course, you can go to our Facebook page as well by visiting facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Really quickly, if you're looking at our Facebook page, David McNeely comments and says, I think they'll miss his leadership the most. And without a doubt, again, Max Bulla, if you've ever come in contact or watched him on, out there playing on the field or just heard him in a press conference, he is one of the most passionate players that is on this Spartan football team. One of the most passionate players I've ever come in contact with, to tell you the truth. And, it's no doubt that Max Bulla, his emotional leadership is a huge component to the success of this team. Really, folks, and just looking at different reports and listening to the radio on my way to work this morning, from different people who have decided to call in and express their thoughts, and people who have commented on different forums about Max, being suspended and not playing in this year's Rose Bowl. I got to tell you, many of you out there are curious as to what Max did. I tell you what, I am too. It had to be something huge in order for Coach D to say, hey, you cannot play. He didn't even make the trip, folks. He didn't even make the plane when MSU, they actually flew out on Christmas Day to Cali to start preparing for the pregame festivities leading up to the Rose Bowl. Max Bulla did not make the trip whatsoever. The team actually found out on Christmas. So it's not like the team found out, a few days before this happened. The team found out right before they were going to fly out. And I tell you what, I can just imagine what was going through their heads at that moment. But I tell you what, folks, for those curious, because I myself am curious as well as to what Max Bulla did, what led to him being suspended and not being able to play in the Rose Bowl. But I tell you what, folks, when you look at, just this instance right now and really dwindle it down and break it down, there's no excuse. It really doesn't matter what he did. The fact is, it had to be something big, serious enough to even lead to this, for Coach D and his coaching staff to say, all right, well, we can't play him. It had to be something that big, and he's hurting this MSU football team right now. I got some pretty strong thoughts about it. He's also hurting the Bulla name. I mean, if you look at the history of the Bulla name ingrained in Spartan history, when you talk about Henry Bulla, and you look at Henry Bulla, of course, the former defensive coordinator for the MSU football team, who really established an incredible legacy here. And you look at Max's little brother Riley, who's now playing for the football team. They have another kid up and coming, another Bulla up and coming. I mean, the Bulla name is certainly rich with tradition and pride. And if you look at it now and looking at this situation with Max Bulla, it's definitely putting a little tarnish on it, if you will. So, and again, we want you to call in. We want you to share your thoughts on this, because this is a huge blow to this team with Max not even making the trip and being a part of this team. We want you to call in later on, and we'll definitely dive in and discuss it. So, in the meantime, let's get to our guest on today's show. He is a former Bath High School point guard, helping the Bees reach the 1999 Class C title game. He went on to become the boys Bath boys varsity basketball coach in 2006 and guided the Bees to the Class C district, regional, and state titles in 2007. He was hired as the head boys basketball coach over at Okemos High School last year. Jeff Wanch, welcome to Current Sports. We finally got you on, Jeff.
Yes, thanks for having me on. Sorry for being such a pain to get a hold of.
No, you're good, man. First of all, Jeff, like I said, you have quite a history here at Bath as a player and a coach. As mentioned, you led the Bees to the Class C state title game back in 1999. And in 2007, as a coach, you led the team to its first Class C state title with a win over Saginaw Novell. Now, Jeff, I got to ask you, how much do you miss the royal blue and white over there at Bath?
Oh, well, yeah, I miss it a little bit. There's a lot of relationships you have over there that, you know, we'll be pretty tight, you know, all the time. And I always keep up with our coaches over there and their players. And it'll always be home for me, too, because I grew up there, kindergarten through 12th grade. So it's always fun to go back and always fun to think back on those moments, too.
Jeff, after your time as a player at Bath, when did you know that you kind of had a knack for coaching the game of basketball?
Yeah, my coaches kind of, when they were describing me as a person, they kind of said I was kind of a coach on the floor as a point guard and kind of demanded the best from the team I was playing on. And so kind of then, kind of got the knack for it and really enjoyed it and kind of went with it.
Right, without a doubt. Now, that 2007, Jeff, is so historic. 2007 season, so historic in Babs history because you guys actually started the season 5-4. And then went on to win, I believe, 19 straight games to close out the season. Much of that start having to do with the suspension, I believe, of 6 players at that time for breaking a school rule back in 07. Jeff, I know now some time has passed now, 2013, about to be in 2014, of course, now. What in the world did those players do?
Oh, most of them just found themselves in a position that they knew they shouldn't have been in. They were at a place where they shouldn't have been, and kind of dealt with the consequences. And when you look back on it, it's kind of a situation where every team has a moment where, you know, they either, you know, give up or it, you know, let it define you or, you know, step up and rise through the adversity. And, you know, some of the guys on that team got a chance to, you know, get into the playing rotation because of that situation. And some of them never let go of it either. And some of them came back even stronger and with something to prove. And it was kind of one of those moments that kind of, you know, propelled us after that and works as a learning situation that I explained to all my current teams too, as a, you know, things can go wrong in a hurry if you find yourself in the wrong spot. So, you know, fun to look back on those memories. It was definitely a tough time that beginning of that season though. It was definitely pretty difficult.
Now, Jeff, this is pretty timely because, you know, as mentioned at the top of the hour, we're talking about Max Bulla actually being suspended mm-hmm. from the MSU football team for a violation of team rules. Jeff, you as a coach, you know, doing what you had to do back in 2007 and looking at the situation now with Coach D suspending Max Bulla, I mean, how tough is it for a coach to tell a player and sit down a player, you know, in instances like that where you have to really discipline them?
Yeah, I don't know if tough is the right word, maybe just, you know, extreme disappointment, because most of the time, you know, you'd like, as a coach, you like to have your hands on everything, but when push comes to shove, everybody's making decisions on their own, and a lot of times, you know, when something's done, the player already knows, like, they know there's a consequence to it, and, you know, something's going to be done, and, you know, the coach, he's going to act, and he has to make a decision on it, and, you know, it's just the way it is, and you know, that disappointment sometimes is something that the kid has to live with, you know, for the rest of their life when they think about it. And I know I've had some former players come back and talk to current teams saying, you know, don't, you know, it's really easy to make a mistake and it's really easy to find yourself in a bad position. So, you know, just to be proactive and, you know, hopefully, you know, they can learn from it and, you know, move on with the rest of their life.
That is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head boys basketball coach over at Okemos High School, Jeff Wanch. Now, Jeff, back in 2007, looking at that season, because it's like I said, it's so historic when you talk about Babs history. How mind-boggling was it for you to win a state title as a first-year head coach with a team? That's got to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it was quite the experience. And I was a JV coach for 5 years before I took the head coaching job, and The coach before me, his name was Bruce Miller. He did a great job of, you know, building things up, and, you know, he described me as the guy that was kind of giving him the parts and, you know, putting the program together. And and when he decided he was going to retire and be done, he definitely, you know, left a lot of talent. There was a lot of talent on that team, and mm-hmm. he knew that, you know, that I was going to take good care of him, and I was pretty excited to step into it. And like I said, it's just some great memories.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, I got to ask you, I mean, because, you know, coming off that first year, you guys go all the way, you know, raise the trophy, win the state championship. The expectations had to really suddenly go through the roof for you, right?
Yeah, it definitely does. That's what I was saying. I remember walking off the court thinking, man, maybe I should retire. I don't know. It doesn't get much better than this. But
right.
But when you start thinking about, you know, what it's all about and, you know, building relationships with the guys and watching teams improve and working, you know, throughout the summers and when it comes down to it, you know, the championships are fun, but it's about relationships and it's about, you know, getting the best out of your team.
Now, you took over as the head boys varsity basketball coach, actually last year, replacing Dan Stoltz over at Okemos, who guided the Chiefs to two Class A district and regional titles and a state quarterfinal appearance. Also reached a 2006 Class A state final before losing in double overtime. Jeff, did you feel any pressure coming into last season trying to fill those shoes of Dan?
You know, a little bit, but nothing that I would call, you know, overwhelming. And most of it's because, you know, Dan made himself available to me right away, you know, as a resource. He came up to me and said, Jeff, if, you know, whatever you need, if you need anything from me, give me a call. And I've talked to him quite a bit, and he's just very supportive. So I don't feel the pressure from that standpoint at all. And I've got such great coaches, you know, surrounding me as far as a great freshman coach and JV coach and, you know, some great assistants. And I really felt like I was stepping into, you know, something that was working well already.
When you did step into those shoes, Jeff, what did Dan tell you?
Oh, he said congratulations, and he said you know, he was very positive about the whole situation, and he kind of explained, you know, some of the not really expectations, but some of the, you know, some of the simple things to expect, and just kind of preparing me from, you know, from his experiences. And he's got so many experiences, and he really is a legend, and he's a Hall of Famer, and to use him as a resource, any coach would be blessed to have a coach, a Hall of Fame coach, as a resource, and I've been using him quite a bit.
That's how you got to do it, Jeff. Now, and Dan, I believe, is still coaching. I believe is he the girls' golf coach over there still?
Yes, he still is.
Gotcha. Now, you stepping into that in your first year, Jeff, I want you to, you know, for our listeners out there, assess how last year went. How far did you guys go?
Well, we finished 11-10. Had a good start. I believe we were 4-0 and then lost a close one to Sexton. And then once you get into the CAAC Blue, it's a very, very, very tough league. Mm-hmm. And we lost, oh, I want to say 4 or 5 games by 5 points or less, but I want to say we won a few of those too. And I think that's the way this season is gonna happen as well. There's going to be a lot of close games, and hopefully we can be on top. But I thought we finished pretty well. We beat Waverly right before the season ended, and then we lost to them in the first round of the districts. And I'm real proud of the 10 seniors that graduated last year. Which was a lot.
Wow,
a lot
10
of,
seniors.
A lot of question marks. Yeah, left a lot of question marks going into this season.
Yeah.
But I was very, very proud of that group.
Wow, with all of that experience, you know, because you talk about 10 seniors, Jeff, I mean, how do you combat that? That's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is tough, and a lot of guys getting experiences for the first time. But there's a lot of guys, you know, just waiting for their opportunity as well. And I think we may surprise some people this year just with, you know, some new faces that they hadn't seen before, that are good players, and we're very athletic. We like to get out and run, and we got a couple of shooters, and I like the way our team looks so far.
That's great. Now, Jeff, I believe you guys have started off. Did you guys play Grand Ledge on Friday in lieu of that ice storm?
No, we didn't.
You didn't.
It got canceled. Yep.
Gotcha. So you guys have started off 2-0, I believe, wins over Lansing Catholic and Lansing Everett. What have you seen so far from your team that you like and what you don't like?
Well, I like their confidence. They definitely don't look like a bunch of guys that are getting their first shot at it. They look like guys that have been playing for a long time, which is the truth, because these guys really love basketball, and they're the kind of guys that are looking for open gyms at other schools, and, you know, as well as attending all of our open gyms, and they just really love basketball. So they're excited to have the chance, and that's kind of when we were stepping into the season. A lot of guys were, you know, really excited about the opportunity because they knew there was you know, so many seniors that graduated that, you know, there's a lot of holes to be filled. And so they're excited, they're confident, but yet it's really, really early in the season for us. So we've only played two games, and definitely a lot to prove still.
Now, when will you guys make up that game against Grand Ledge?
It hasn't been decided yet. I was hoping sooner than later, because pretty much we go Tuesday, Friday, as soon as school starts back up until the season's over. So they're going to have to squeeze it in somewhere. But we also, we play a game tonight in Bay City, and then we play one next Friday at home against Hazlitt. So we got a couple games over break, too.
Right, gotcha. All right, Jeff, before I let you go, I got to ask you, because you were a pretty good high school basketball player, you know, back in your day, and now, you know, making that transition into a, you know, a boys basketball coach, varsity basketball coach now. Jeff, what's tougher, being a player or a coach? Do you find yourself sometimes on the sideline getting so involved in it, and once you were out there playing?
Yeah, it's definitely harder to be a coach, because there's a lot of things you just want to show them. But at the same time, the level of exhaustion is different. I can remember just being physically exhausted getting towards the end of the season. Now it's definitely more of a mental thing as a coach, and which can be just as bad, but the players are definitely the ones out there doing the work.
Right, definitely. Well, there you have it. Jeff, how'd you spend your holidays, man, before I let you go? Do you have power?
Yeah, we got power just in the nick of time. We lost it for about a day and a half, and I got young kids, so Christmas was amazing. It was awesome.
Oh, that is great. That is great. All right, Jeff. Well, I tell you what, we got to stay in touch, and good luck on the rest of the season, all right?
Yes, thank you for having me on.
No problem. That is Jeff Wanch, head boys basketball coach over at Okemos High School. They have started off the season undefeated, only played two games, but that's still very, very good. They will actually be playing Grand Ledge, trying to make up a game. They've beaten Lansing Catholic and Lansing Everett so far. The CAAC Blues, such a tough, tough conference. All right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to open our phone lines, and we're going to talk about the story that everyone's talking about here around Michigan. Max Bulla, the Max Bulla suspension. Max has been suspended for the Rose Bowl due to a violation of team rules. We're going to talk about that and take your calls on it. Don't go anywhere. 517-355-9527. Give us a call. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, story that everyone's talking about right now has to do with MSU senior linebacker Max Bulla, Michigan State suspended senior linebacker Max Bulla for a violation of team rules, making him ineligible to play in the Rose Bowl. It was a news release sent actually early Thursday. Spartan coach Mark D'Antonio said Bulla has been suspended for the rest of the season. Only one game left, of course, that being the Rose Bowl. He did not say what rules the two-time captain had violated. He didn't even make the trip down to Pasadena, folks, when they left on Christmas Day. Well, Matt joins me right now as we kind of dive into this. And I tell you what, Matt, just to get off my chest really quick, this really, I think, is going to hurt this team. When you talk about Max, who is such a – he is the leader of this team, to be honest with you. I mean, when you talk about, especially from that defense, the number one defense in the nation, which is going to be a key for them to play well in order for them to beat Stanford. You got two defenses going at it. But when you lose a leader like that, who is such an emotional leader, from what he does on the field to what he does off the field and how he rallies those guys, it's definitely going to be a blow. I don't see how this is a positive in any aspect. The only positive I can see is if this team uses this as a rallying point and says, okay, well, our leader is gone, let's go out there and try to win for him. But it's no excuses. No matter what, whatever Max did, it really, really, really is disappointing. Because I, you know, after that, because I go back to 2011 when that incident happened in the bar where he got arrested. And ever since then, I've seen Max as a really humble, hardworking guy that really has his head on straight. And it really surprised me to see this story. And I tell you what, it's going to hurt them, though, Matt. It's going to hurt them.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you can't, you know, plug in a guy and replace someone who had 40 consecutive starts and, you know, just keep humming along. There's going to be a drop-off somewhere.
Right.
As far as, you know, he's the leader of the team, I definitely get that, but it's not like there's a shortage of leaders on the defense. It's not like he's the lone senior in a sea of young players. You know, you still have Darquez Dennard, you still have DeNico Salen, you still have Mekhijah Reynolds, you still have Isaiah Lewis. All those guys are seniors playing in their last game. Tyler Hoover. It's not like it was just Max. I mean, the guy they're going to plug in for him, likely, Kyler Ellsworth, he's a fifth-year former walk-on. You know, he's been a special teams stud for 3 years. I mean, he's the one who blocked the punt in the Wisconsin game when they won on the Hail Mary a few years ago. I don't know if they're going to miss him so much in terms of, you know, between the whistle, just having a guy at the middle linebacker spot to make tackles. I think where they're going to miss him the most is the pre-snap adjustments, because he's the guy who kind of orchestrates everything.
He's the coach on the field.
Gets everybody. Yeah. I mean, he has a lame nickname, the computer, but it's true.
Right, right.
Because he does process all that information. He gets guys into position. I don't know how many times against Ohio State he would go up and tap the defensive lineman on the butt, and they'd all slide over, and they'd stuff the run.
Exactly.
And it's those kind of things that you're going to miss. And those are the kind of things that made the defense so good. So while he is, in some aspects, irreplaceable, I think Ellsworth's going to do a heck of a job in his absence. But at the same time, he is, you know, he embodied the defense. He was the face of the defense. It's a blow, for sure.
It definitely is. I mean, that's, like I said, that's your lead. And you bring up the, you know, that those defensive adjustments that he would make. I mean, we saw multiple times throughout the season where it was a cat and mouse game between him and multiple teams, this defensive coordinator trying to figure, or offensive coordinator, I should say, as Max would just figure out offenses, what they're going to do. I mean, that's what he does. And that is a huge aspect that you're going to be missing against a Stanford team who is very, very dangerous. And from an emotional standpoint, I mean, guys would always talk about Max, you know, the emotional energy that he brings. I mean, he gets those guys ready to play, to be honest with you. He goes out there, he pumps them up, he lets them know what they're doing wrong, and he relays those messages to those guys and gets their mindset into a realm where it's hard to break. And him, you know, when you look at the situation, it's so messy to me, because now I think the Bulla name has kind of a dent in it. You know, before this came out, you know, especially in such a crucial moment here where MSU is playing in the biggest game that it's been in over two decades, and you don't have Max behind center, you don't have the Bulla name on that defense that's been so historic throughout the green and white history. It does put a tarnish on it. And I think I heard a report driving up here that they were going to run a special, kind of like, you know how you run pieces throughout the Rose Bowl game or any bowl game for that matter. There was a special piece they were going to run about the Bullets, and they're thinking about taking it down now because of this. And it just really is upsetting. Whatever Max did to he's hurting his team right now. And, you know, I think he's going to hurt his NFL draft stock. Looking at this, because this is now his second incident, you know, if you take into account that 2011 incident now. And, you know, all that MSU can do now is really use it as a rallying point. Guys got to step up, and we'll see if that happens. Because, like I said, you're losing the LeBron James of your defense here, okay? You're
that,
losing
that
LeBron
might
James.
Be slightly overstating.
No. From an emotional leadership standpoint,
well,
Matt,
yeah,
you're
but
losing that.
I don't think you look at LeBron as the emotional leader. I think you look at LeBron as the most physically dominant player in the league. I don't know if Max is that on this defense. I think physically, Darquez Dennard is a more valuable player.
But he gets those guys ready to play, man. Without Max out
that's
there.
That's apples and oranges. You're
overrated.
Talking about professional basketball and college football. Those are two different realms
Max
altogether.
Max Bulla gets those guys in the correct mindset to go out there and be that number one defense. If you're losing that component.
Right. No, I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing the LeBron James comparison.
Just use that as a comparison.
Right, yeah. Let's move past that. As far as, you know, missing him on the defense, it's terrible. And like you said, it's certainly not going to help his draft stock or any of that. The one thing that, you know, maybe comes off as a silver lining is that down the road, I think players will know Coach D doesn't take any crap.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've meant to the team, how hard you've worked, how long you've been there. if you screw up, no matter what juncture you're at in your career, you're going to be punished.
That's the thing I think is the most admirable part of this whole thing. Coach D, like I said,
it takes some stones to do that.
Yes, and this is the Rose Bowl. It's not like MSU gets to the Rose Bowl every single year. I mean, this could be a once in a lifetime thing for many guys, and especially for Max Bulla now, because he's a senior. He doesn't have an opportunity to go to another Rose Bowl and do this again. And you know how important he's been at his ball club, and now Coach D says, "Hey, you're done." You know what I mean? It had to be something very, very serious. Whatever Max did, it had to be very, very serious for Coach D and that coaching staff to sit in that meeting and say, "Hey, you're done. You can't even travel with us. That's it.
Yeah,
keep your butt home."
It's,
you
know? It's heartbreaking for just about everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is.
It is. But as far as the outcome of the game, I do think it will affect it to a degree. I think that as the game goes on, as MSU plays Stanford, as the game goes on, I think that the MSU defense may come out a bit off, to be honest with you. I think that they may be a little just on the edge here, because they don't have – it's got to be weird. You know, looking back there, you don't have Max Bulla, you know, barking out different calls and making the necessary adjustments. I mean, that's a huge aspect to this football team. Now gone. I mean, who's going to do that now?
Right, and especially when you look at the context of the game. This is the biggest game of everyone's lives.
Right.
As far as the team is concerned. Like, this is the biggest game they've ever played in up to this point. Some of them might go on to play bigger games in the pros. This is it for a lot of these guys. And to not have your leader when everything around you is different. You know, when you're in the Rose Bowl, when you're playing on New Year's Day, when you
right.
are the national matchup.
The pressure that comes with that
it's huge.
It's immense.
And to not have your leader there to kind of guide your team through it, it's going to hurt. As far as is it going to affect the game, I think, like you were saying earlier, maybe it is that rallying cry. Maybe it's, you know, kind of refocuses the team. Because, you know, there's no better way to say, hey, we got a game than having one of your best players not be able to play in it.
Right.
You know, because now you're not thinking about, oh, we got to do all this media stuff. We got to do this and this. We're thinking, we got to get ready for this game Wednesday. We got to get ready for it. We have Stanford coming up. We got to play our best, especially because he's not there. I think, you know, if you treat it more like an injury rather than a suspension I think you can maybe try and overcome it more. But at the same time, he's a big blow.
He's a huge blow.
I love Kyler Ellsworth, though. I've loved him for years.
Yeah.
He's got a nose for the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he's played all the linebacker spots. So as far as knowing what every position's doing, at least on one level of the defense, he does.
Yeah, he's got a knack for it, but I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see how they start the game and to see how they finish it, because I think it will be they're going to be a little off to start the game, but as they get into a groove, you know, drive after drive after drive, I think they will get it together. Aaron, I want to get your thoughts on it. When this happened, what was going through your head when you heard about Max Bulla being suspended?
Yeah. I mean, you guys pretty much covered it all. I mean, it's a huge blow. I mean, I think the main point that, you know, you both have mentioned is the sort of on-the-field coaching. It's almost as if to me, Bulla is almost like you're at a practice and the coach is behind the line. All right, you know, as you can see here, the offense is doing this. So we
right, he's the quarterback of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to be easy to do. Now, I will say, if there's one coach that's going to be able to get the guys prepared to maybe make adjustments for this, it's, you know, it's our defensive coach in Narduzzi. I mean, if there's one team that you would say, or one coach that you would say, hey, if you're going to lose one of your top guys in defense, let's have it be Michigan State. Granted, you wouldn't want that, but if it's going to be that, you want the best defensive coach in the country, because most likely he's going to figure out a way that, you know, maybe, I mean, we've been the number one defense. Everyone's well aware how great Narduzzi is at, you know, getting players that aren't supposed to be great players coming into college and making them into something. Well, this might be his biggest challenge to see. In a very short amount of time, can he get someone to sort of fill that QB on defense? Can he find someone to fill in that role? Or maybe it's not one person. Maybe it's the entire defense. Can they all communicate with each other and make adjustments on the fly? The beauty is, I think, that Stanford runs, maybe you guys can correct me, runs an offense very similar to Michigan State.
Yeah,
so,
they do. They are, so, yeah, it's almost like looking yourself in the mirror. They're doing a lot of things similar to Michigan
State. So in practice, plus, you know, they've had obviously several weeks to prepare for Stanford. That helps in the sense of they know what maybe they're going to get. I'm sure Stanford is going to have some tricks up their sleeve, knowing that their offense is very similar to Michigan State's. But, you know, if there's anyone that's going to, you know, get their defense in order, get the people in place, make sure everyone's communicating, it's Narduzzi and that coaching staff.
Yeah, I agree. Narduzzi is like I say, he's the best assistant coach in the entire nation. And, you know, it's going to be a blow, and we'll see how big of a blow it is as that game progresses. And, again, we want you all to call in and share your thoughts on this. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And give your thoughts on Max Bulla, who is now ineligible to play in the Rose Bowl due to a violation of team rules. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk Lions. Yes, the Detroit Lions. Now they will not be making the playoffs. And just got a lot of stuff to get off my chest because this is the first time since Sunday that you know, we've been able to dive into this. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we have a lot to talk about on today's show. Again, if you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything we discuss here on the show, pick up that phone right now and dial 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You also can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I believe I have a tweet right now from Jess. She says that Bulla must have really messed up to miss this once-in-a-lifetime experience for the Rose Bowl. Very, very true there. And all right, well, you know, switching gears here for a minute. The Detroit Lions on Sunday fell to the New York Giants, ending their hopes of any postseason dreams that they had. And now they're really playing for nothing as the final week of the NFL season is embarks upon us. Now, you know what, Matt? I want to bring up something here because this really, if there was one moment that got under my skin the most watching that game, it was this one. Back to that game being tied with 23 seconds left on the clock, two timeouts left, and you got the ball at Detroit 25. Schwartz decides to run out the clock and not even give his team a chance to score. If there was one moment that grinded my gears right there that sums up the idiotic Jim Schwartz era that we have here in Detroit right now, it was that one. And then once the moment happened, fans were booing Jim Schwartz and the football team left and right. And I believe, now Jim Schwartz said that he didn't yell at anything at the fans, but it looked as though he turned around and started displaying his anger, if you will, at the fans. That moment right there just capitalized this debacle of a second half of the season that this Detroit Lions team had, and I think Schwartz needs to be fired, period, right now. That's my opinion on it.
Honestly, I'm surprised he's still the coach.
Without a doubt.
Now.
Yeah.
Especially after he definitely shouted something towards the stands.
Something was said.
That is a, you know, give me my pink slip moment right there. I mean, that he should have been out the door. You know, don't even come back into the office tomorrow, Jim. It's over.
Right.
The fact that they, you know, sit on the ball with 23 seconds left.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I guess I get it because normally, I mean, look at how Stafford's been playing. He probably would have thrown an interception anyway. I mean, when you look at how this team has performed down the stretch, and Calvin Johnson wasn't 100%, so you don't have him, who's he going to throw to down the field? Who's going to be open? Nobody.
But Jim Schwartz, and you know, going back to that moment in Pittsburgh, if you remember when they faked the field goal, and then he Then he went in that press conference and said, quote, "We're not scared of anybody. We're trying to win." And
yeah,
then
he does
a perfect situation when you got the chance. If you go in there and say that during that moment, and you got a chance to win the game and put it to bed and keep your playoff hopes alive with two time, you got two timeouts left, man.
It's because his job wasn't on the line at Pittsburgh. His job was on the line against the Giants.
So he's taking
every
little
easy way out and lost.
Exactly.
They deserve to lose.
They deserve to lose, without a doubt. They don't deserve to make the playoffs.
I was rooting against them.
You were?
Yes. End this charade. Just terrible.
I think you mentioned that last week.
Yeah, and they should not have been in a position to have to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, 6-3. Nice-looking schedule down the stretch, and they just blow it. And now Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I'm sure the Packers will win if he plays well. And then they'll go into the playoffs and run through everybody, and it'll be another year of the Packers being the team. It just drives me crazy. They get this golden opportunity, and week after week after week, they make similar mistakes.
Yeah, I mean,
they
did you see Reggie Bush fumble on Sunday? Then he goes on the sideline and puts his head down. I'm like, stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Usually when he does that, he comes out and runs like a man possessed, but
he was terrible.
He barely even played the rest of the game.
Reggie Bush has been terrible these past few weeks. He cannot hold on to the football. Matthew Stafford, I mean, he tries to force so many throws. He's so inaccurate. I mean, he overthrows receivers, he underthrows them, he throws in back of them. It is so frustrating watching this team. I they don't deserve to make the playoffs. And the first thing they need to do, like you said, fire Jim Schwartz.
Yep.
Jim Schwartz is just a pain in the back for this team right now. Tim has actually made a comment on our Facebook page and says that, "I say give Schwartz the last 2 years of his contract."
Oh, my gosh.
"Too much comes along with hiring a new coach. It's too much change when we only need a little. We put too much blame on the coach and not enough on the players. The Lions need fine-tuning, not rebuilding." That's from Tim. He is commenting on our Facebook
Nobody
page.
Said you had to rebuild hire a new coach.
You don't have to rebuild. When you hire a new coach, you're not rebuilding the entire franchise here. You're putting in a new general to try to lead the players you already have. Kind of like if you look at the Pistons, when they had Rick Carlisle, they brought in Larry Brown. They didn't have to rebuild totally when they brought a new coach. Tim, I got to disagree. Thank you for commenting on our Facebook page. I got to totally disagree with you on that. Jim Schwartz is just, he doesn't bring the right attitude and what's needed for this I think this is a very, very talented Lions squad, if you ask me. I think they have, you know, pieces there. I think Burleson is a decent wide receiver from the wide receiver core. I think they have some pretty, very solid wide receivers. Ogletree, I have to see more of him. I think he can be something. I saw shades of him against New York. I said, okay, he looks to be a decent wide receiver at that. The secondary has to improve for the Lions. I think they need to get a cornerback, maybe a linebacker there. But I tell you what, you know, this is a very talented Lions team who was in perfect position to really solidify themselves and clinch the NFC North and totally drop the ball due to just simple mistakes, fumbles, interceptions, and a coach who doesn't accept responsibility for anything that he does.
Right. It seems like the entire team has a problem with accountability, and that goes to the head coach. I mean, he is the CEO of the team.
Right.
He should have complete control. He should, you know, everything comes from the top down from him, and there's nothing. There's no accountability. There's no owning up to your mistakes. And, you know, the press conference after the Pittsburgh loss,
it's ridiculous,
pretty much perfectly embodies that.
Yeah.
He gets defensive. He's arrogant. He's combative.
And like I said, it was so contradictory because...
And then in this game,
In this game, you got an opportunity to put all that to bed. If you say you're not scared, you have the perfect opportunity to put that to bed and go for the win. And he doesn't do it. That moment right there just ticked me off so bad. All right, we have a caller on the line right now. Austin, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm good. How you doing, Al?
Very good, man.
That's good, man. Just a couple things. You know, my mind was on Max Bullock, but then when you guys start talking about the Lions, I just lost all train of thought. So I'm not going to go there.
Gotcha.
But as far as the Max Bullock situation, man, it's very difficult to pinpoint exactly what's going on because nobody knows what happened. And I guess all I can say about the situation is I hope it's not something so small to the point where if it came out, it'll be like, D'Antonio, did you really sit him for doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
So that's one thing about the situation. I just find it so interesting that they're hiding it that much. Like, is the situation that small or is the situation that big? Now, I understand not letting it out because you want the team to stay focused, you know, going into the Rose Bowl game and everything like that. But, you know, but I guess, like I said, it's a tough situation to talk about, but all I can say is, you know, the Spartans, they're obviously the number one defense in college football, and they have many pieces that can kind of fill that void. And like you guys said, Max Bullock was the vocal leader in the middle. But when you got Pat Narduzzi as your defensive coordinator, he's going to come up with ways to figure things out. So I think Michigan State is going to be all right. You know, they got good backup linebackers, you know, in there to fill in. And that's why you have so many people on the team. So if you come into a situation like this, you have the personnel to be able to, you know, fill that void. So I think Michigan State will be all right in this game, man.
Hey, thanks a lot for your call, Austin. Appreciate it. So, I mean, that's a very, very good point, you know, why, you know, because listen to the radio on the way here, that's the biggest thing. I mean, fans want to know what Max did, and, you know, it's interesting as to what's, I think it's huge. To go to this degree right now, anytime you have Max Bulla, Coach D loves Max Bulla. He loves Max Bulla. I mean, anytime throughout the season you would bring up Max Bulla, I mean, praises rain down on Max Bulla all the time. He's captain on his team. He's a leader on his team. So I'm thinking it has to be something pretty darn big. This is the Rose Bowl here. This is the biggest game in Michigan State since 1988. You got one of your senior leaders who has really, you know, bust his tail and really is a hallmark for why this defense is so good, the best in the nation. And you sit him out. It's got to be big. I think it's huge. The question here, I think, Matt, is should MSU be releasing what he did?
I mean, they might not be able to, legally. Like, it might not be their place. So I don't know about that.
I have to dig into that.
Well, I guess it would depend on what it is.
Yeah, because if it's something, if it's a crime or something like that, I mean, that's...
But then again, if it was a crime, someone would have dug it up by now.
Yeah, because I mean, the Freedom of Information Act.
Police records, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. So
it's got to be something. As far as should they release it, I don't know. I feel like maybe that matters to the fans more than the players.
Exactly.
But, you know, if they end up winning the Rose Bowl, I feel like it kind of...
I guess what it comes down to is,
anyway,
the fans deserve to know what Max did?
Right, and
I don't know. That could go either way, because I can see both, you know, arguments to that. I mean, from a coaching standpoint, and you want to keep your players focused. You don't want that on their mind. I mean, what they could do, they could release it and maybe say we're not commenting on it at all, so don't even ask us a question about it, which is what they're doing now. I mean, Coach D and the players, they won't even acknowledge it right now. They're saying
right,
we made a statement.
And they're getting ready for the biggest media day of their lives.
Exactly.
So you don't want to have questions solely about Max Bulla all day.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
This team has accomplished a lot, and while Max was certainly a part of it, you know, one player does not a top-ranked defense make. You know, it wasn't just a one-man show.
Right.
You know, this is a unit, and this is a team, and I think, you know, they're going to have to stay focused. And as far as releasing the information, I think that would be more important to the fans and the players. At this point in time, I would be more concerned about what the players are doing rather than what the fans are doing.
Exactly. Because to be honest, I mean, from a fan perspective, I mean, the drama and everything, we want to know what happened, of course.
Right.
It'll come out when they want it to come out, you know, in due time. But it's going to be interesting to see right now how this team reacts to it. But all right, so the Lions, Matt, just to wrap that up, Jim Schwartz needs to be fired.
Who do you have them looking at?
I have no idea. You know, I've heard rumors left and right. Brian Kelly's name being thrown out there.
Brian Kelly?
Yeah. I said, what? I forget what station it was. But flipping through the channels, Brian Kelly's name was thrown out there. John Gruden's name was thrown out there.
Oh, gosh.
If they
hire John Gruden.
Tony Dungy's name was thrown
John
out
Gruden's
as well.
John Gruden's meetings will just be like, all right. All right, so look at this guy.
Do you like John Gruden as a commentator? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of John Gruden.
He's
on
okay. I don't. I think he might have. I
All
think
right,
he might have missed
on,
his window to come back. Because he's like, this guy is a good football player.
He states the
just
obvious.
Watching,
doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He's like a young Madden. He's like a young fit Madden.
Right, right.
Something about those ex-Raider coaches. But as far as legitimate candidates that I would like to see the Lions
look at,
my list starts and ends with Mike Zimmer. Who is the defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. Zimmer.
I think he might be the best coordinator in football. Mm-hmm. The Bengals are ranked 5th in yards per game allowed. They are missing Geno Atkins, who is arguably the best defensive lineman in the league. They're missing Leon Hall, who's their best cover corner. He's developed guys like Vontaze Burfict, who came out of the draft with a bunch of question marks. They're consistently a top unit.
Right.
His players love him. He's obviously got he's a defensive guy, so he's going to be able to utilize guys like Sue and Fairley and Delmas and
Wow, you're all about
Levy.
Zimmer for president, baby.
I think he's the guy. Because
gotcha.
You need a guy
Have
who's
you heard reports about them looking at him?
I mean, he's one of the top candidates in for most of the jobs, so I don't know. And you know, they've leaked a couple names, but it's weird that names would already be popping up.
Yeah,
Schwartz wasn't going to be fired. At this time,
exactly.
It just seems like...
Just like that.
Cut bait.
They're
going to
do it. They're
going to
cut bait very, very soon. It's a matter of when, I think. I think they'll let him finish out the season.
Right.
And then you'll start to see...
Monday, he'll be
Yeah, you'll
out.
See that happen. So,
yeah. But that's my guy, Mike Zimmer.
There you go. All right. Well, we got about 4 minutes left in the show. You know what, Matt? This is our... Aaron, this is our last Friday of the year, man. I can't believe it. It's about to be 2014, baby. You know, and in honor of that, I just kind of hit on the most memorable moments from this year in sports. What was your favorite moment in sports? Well, I'll go first. I'll bring up mine. There were many. This was a great year in sports, to be honest with you. So hard to choose, boil it down to one. So I actually have a few here. The Alabama-Auburn game, of course, that finish was one of the greatest finishes I've ever seen in a sporting event. Megatron going for 329 yards against my Cowboys. He did it against my Cowboys, but he was unbelievable that game. He made Matthew Stafford look like Joe Montana or something like that. I mean, he was unbelievable. Catching catches between three guys, he was remarkable. Going back to college basketball, Trey Burke's deep 30-foot three-pointer against Kansas. If you remember that game, to go to the Elite Eight, that was unbelievable. I remember watching that saying, okay, Michigan, they'll finally, you know, bow out of the tournament. And then he went unconscious those past, like, 2 minutes to rally his team
back
to overtime.
You know who else went unconscious?
Oh.
Kansas point guard Elijah Johnson.
Johnson
not
did
in
too.
A good way. Because he pretty much just lost the game for that team. I am still frustrated. that guy made so many terrible decisions
that.
Down the stretch. But keep going.
So Trey, definitely the League of Denial, kind of opening this door of CTE discussion in the game of football. It's really being talked about from left to right. And Ray Allen's three-pointer in Game 6 of the NBA Finals, one of the greatest NBA Finals games I've ever seen in my life. So
That's also on my list. The Ray Allen three-pointer, arguably one of the more important shots in NBA history. I mean, that changed a title, basically.
It did.
Right there.
It did.
And then otherwise, this entire MSU football season has
been
a
great,
wild ride, including this week with
drama.
The Bullis stuff. never ceases to keep you on your toes. It's been a fascinating, fun year. I've loved watching this team.
It has. Aaron.
I'm going to go locally, not college or NFL rank. I'm going to go all the way to Olivet, where the students, you guys remember, they gave the touchdown to the kid that has a learning disability.
Oh, yes.
They learned something that wasn't about sports, but about life. Great story. And they're going to be honored at the Harlem Globetrotters in January at the Breslin Center. So
yes.
There's my moment.
That is a really, really cool moment. And we're actually trying to pull some strings and trying to get Olivet on the radio show here on Current Sports. And we're trying to get the Globetrotters on here, too. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be very
cool. All right. Well, thank you to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Again, we'll be live in the Rose Bowl, so don't want to miss that. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing and WKR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend. Happy holidays and be easy, people.